Good morning, church. We hope you enjoy our new decor. We're just doing it in stages. Again, if you're not here in person, you don't see it as much. But for those of you who are here, pardon the construction stuff piled around. But we're making progress. We have nice, fresh, clean sheetrock. Hopefully in the weeks to come, that will turn into nice, fresh, clean paint. And then we have one other big hurdle coming up, and that is going to be we are getting all new carpet and all new tile, and it's going to be a job. So just I say that to listen out for social media. We're trying our best in coming weeks not to have to miss a Sunday, but it may not be within our control how fast we can get the contractors in, get them out, and get everything put back together. So just be aware of that. Also, I want to encourage you, if you're watching online, if you didn't already, run real quick, grab you some crackers or bread and some juice, because at the end today we're going to take communion together. And if you did not get a little communion element thing on your way in, just wave your hand at us and we'll make sure somebody brings you one. We got the new and improved kind. They told us they were easy open. Let me just warn you, don't open the juice when it's on the bottom, okay? Gravity still works even when communion. Anyway, all right, we're going to jump into our series. We're going to talk about our step three today. In this series, it's really all about what we believe and why we do what we do. It goes really well with step one. I encourage you to maybe jump into that. Come check us out if you've not made this place your home, or like Melanie said, you just want to come find out about us. You're welcome just to come sit. It's a no pressure. You can come enjoy a meal and hang out with us. But we've been talking about these promises that God has for us. That he wants lost people saved. Because unless you cross that threshold, none of the other promises matter. That promise stands alone. He wants saved people pastored. In other words, he wants you free from your past. He wants to help you get by the things that keep you back, that keep you from fulfilling what God has for you. And then he wants pastored people trained. Once you're pastored, he wants you trained in your gifts, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Everybody's got one, or a few, really. And then God says, now that you're trained, I want you to mobilize. This is the Great Commission. This is what the Bible says, now that you know me, now you need to go tell other people about me. For us, it translates this, and if you missed the previous Sundays, go back online and watch those. But it translates to lost people saved is God's promise to salvation. We would say no, God. Then saved people pastored translates for us is what we talked about last week, finding freedom. Most people, and I'll give you a percentage in a little bit, most Christians do not make it past step two through this promise. It's sad, and it's not an eternity thing, because once you know God, that one stands alone, but they never make it into the fullness of what God has. Salvation, knowing God, is just the start. It's not the end of the game, it's just getting on the team. And then what we understand that knowing God is about quantity or quality of life here in eternity. Finding freedom is about quality of life on earth. Knowing God gets us to heaven, but God wants you to live a full, whole, complete life here on earth, not just suffer through to try to make it to heaven. God's next promise is this pastored people train, and this is God's promise is restoration. Because what happens as we're finding freedom, we realize that you're not really where God wants you to be. You're not in a place where you saw yourself one day. Most of us, if we could have written out our story as a teenager, and then now you're, say, maybe in your 50s, there are probably parts of your story that you would leave out, right? Like, I am not doing that again. That was dumb. That wasted years of my life. Or I'm not making this decision. See, what the Bible promises us is the Bible says once he got the people of Israel out of Egypt, so they got him out so they could know God, then he freed them to stop acting like slaves. And then the third part is the Bible says in Exodus chapter 6, it says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Redeem simply means this, and I put it on the screen for you, to repurchase, to restore. I use this example a lot. If you think about an old classic car and you're fixing it up and repairing it, you can go buy secondhand parts. You can go buy knockoff parts that aren't original. That's not what God does for us. The Bible says that he puts us back in showroom quality, just like you rolled off the showroom floor. He heals those wounds. The Bible says he actually heals you as if they never happened. But here's the percentage I was talking about earlier. 87% of Christians never experience the promise of being able to experience redemption, restoration. They never find their purpose as to why they're here. As a matter of fact, if you've been around here for a few years, we didn't do it this year because we were on the online platform for Easter, but we do what we call an Easter survey where we ask people, hey, what are some things you would like to hear messages about? What do you deal with? And we list a bunch of options. The top two almost every year is one, how do I handle stress? Because apparently y'all are some stressed out folks, because that's number one every year. And the second one is almost always, why am I on this planet? Am I on this planet just to work my job? Am I on this planet just to be a mother, just to be a father? Am I on this planet to just do this one thing? Why am I here? And God says that he's put us here for a reason, a purpose. And in this restoration, it's a cleaning up process. And some of you need to hear me, and maybe online you need to hear this, that you can never be removed from your purpose. No matter how far you feel you've gone, no matter how far you go, it does not remove God's purpose from your life. See, the problem comes because we have this issue with value. We have this issue with seeing ourselves like God does. And for a couple reasons. Because we think it's arrogant. Because the Bible says that we are kings and queens, that we are priesthood, that we're a holy nation. He's restored us. Doesn't make us better than anybody else. It just makes us redeemed. Doesn't make us better than the person who doesn't know God. It just makes us whole. And the Bible is very clear that God sees us this way. We don't see in us the greatness that God sees. Besides a few of you, and I know a few of you are either comedians or very type A, and that's good, and it's healthy, that's the way God made you. But how many of you in the room and online would raise your hand and go, yeah, I'm great? See, not many of us. And we'll joke and laugh, yeah, I'm great, or we talk smack about, you know, football or basketball or whatever sport, I'm better than you. But none of us really go, no, I'm great, I really am. Why am I great? Is it because my Bible tells me I'm great. My God says I'm great. See, here's the thing you need to understand. Your value is not based on what you do. Your value is based on what he did. And you cannot see your value based on your past. If you do, you'll never go anywhere. You will never fulfill what God's put in you. Your actions can never overcome your past. No matter what you do, you can't separate yourself from your purpose, but you'll never reach your purpose if you base your value on your actions. See, the reason discovering purpose doesn't happen is because we feel inferior. I get it. I get the anxiety of not wanting to maybe stand up here and speak and be in front of people. But I see it every year when we do our 5 for 5 and I go around and ask 5 people, hey, you got 5 minutes. And in my mind, 5 minutes goes like that. But in most of your minds, 5 minutes is an eternity of ever-living hell, right? Because I have to stand up here and talk for 5 minutes. We immediately feel ourselves inferior to the person, or not even too inferior to what God wants. God will never use me. Clint, you don't know where I've been. God's never going to put me on that stage. Are you kidding me? We feel inferior. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are God's what? Yeah, you're not just a replica. When the Bible, when you hear people say, well, they broke the mold when they made that one, it's really true. There are billions of God's masterpiece all over this earth. Each individual, God said he made you uniquely, that you're uniquely and wonderfully made. But the truth of the matter is, that's why finding freedom is so important. Because you can't find your purpose until you settle your yesterday. If your yesterdays are dictating your tomorrows, then finding your purpose is going to be really difficult discovering what that is, because you're going to keep going back to those things that hurt you. You need to know this. God still sees you as acceptable. No matter where you find your place in life right now, no matter what you thought you said, you've done, where you've been, God doesn't look at you and go, well, I was going to use you for that, but now ain't no way. I'm going to find somebody else. She blew it. No, he blew it. That's not the way God sees you. The Bible says that we're God's masterpiece. But look at the second part of this. It says he's created us new in Christ so that we can do what? We can do some things. He's still got things for you to do. And the wonderful thing about this, whether you're 5, 50, or 100, no matter how old you are, the Bible says he's still got stuff for you to do. There's still places that need to see your smiling face. There's still people that need to hear your story of forgiveness. There's still lives to be touched. You've heard me say this before, and I just felt this so strong this week. I put it online this week. Felt like somebody needed to hear it. And maybe this is you today. I'll look right into the camera and say this. You were made on purpose for a purpose. You weren't an accident. Even if you were an accident. There's some of your parents like, no, I know there's accidents. We've got three, right? Even if some of you, I talked to somebody the other day, or not been the other day, it's been a while back now actually, but they don't know who mama is and they don't know who daddy is. And they always struggled with, I don't know, why am I here? Was I an accident? Obviously it was of no value because they just dumped me to the side. Nobody raised me. They were raised in the foster care system. They bounced around. Nobody really attached to them to anybody else. But you need to know you were made on purpose for a purpose. And see, the devil keeps you from finding freedom and discovering your purpose. And he does this by, one, keeping you feeling inferior. Well, I'm never going to be that good. You don't know where I've been. And the second thing he does is he causes us to follow a diversion. Causes us to follow something else. Another part of our lives. This is the part of our story that we're pretty sure God didn't write. Everybody got some of those times in your life? When you realize now that you just took the pen out of God's hand and said, God, I got this. I'm going to write my story for a while. And then you get done with your chapter and you think, oh God, what did I do? I don't want to do that. I don't want to live this way. I don't want that in my life. You see, the Bible says that God's written the book of our lives, and we picked up the pen and we go back and look, God, you didn't write that chapter. And it took me on a diversion. And here's the thing you need to know. In your minds, we're going, okay, I remember when I did this and I made a bad decision and I went off this way. But let me caution you. Just because it's bright and shiny doesn't mean it's God. There are a lot of Christians who are not living in sin necessarily, but they're following something that's just not God's plan for their lives. And they wonder why they are so unfulfilled. Why nothing works. Why it's just, yeah, God, I had some success today, but it just doesn't help me. Because we need to understand that it's not always God. Bright and shiny is not always God. The Bible tells us that God in redemption has a plan for us. And the devil wants us to get us diverted to any other plan. And it could be, again, career, money, hobbies. Some of you with families, do you know kids can take you off of your purpose? We get things out of whack and we start living our lives and the kids take us in a different direction because we don't make decisions as parents. So we let kids lead instead of us leading. It can be diversion there. Some of you are probably thinking, Clint, I've gone too far. I've gone so far that God's purpose has long run out for my life. It's expired. God's purpose for you, what he put in you, does not have an expiration date. And you need to know that. I love the way this verse reads. This is out of the Message paraphrase. It says, God's call is under full warranty. It's never canceled, never rescinded. Wouldn't you like to have one of those warranties on your home, your car, and all the big stuff? You can do whatever you want to for it. We'll cover it. Remember buying the new iPhone? I remember I had a friend that bought a brand new iPhone when they came out, first ones. And he walked into the bathroom, set it on the countertop, turned around, knocked it off, went straight into the toilet. Do you think Apple covered that? No. Do you think the phone company covered that? No. He didn't have insurance. Guess what? He covered it. That water did what? Voided the warranty. Your actions, the things that you dive into, the sin, the mess, the bad decisions, and maybe the shiny thing that we follow, doesn't void God's call on your life. And yes, you have a call. We'd like to say, well, you're the preacher. You got a call on your life. And the preachers, we kind of get arrogant sometimes. Well, I got a call on my life, call to serve God and serve people. And well, guess what? You do too. Call is not unique to me. It's only unique to God, to us, because the Bible says that he's called all of us. His gifts and callings are never canceled, never rescinded. As a matter of fact, I'll go this far. There is not a path you can walk that will take you far enough away from God to remove his purpose over your life. King David writes in Psalms, God, I can go to the pit of hell. You're right there with me. I can go to the highest heights of heaven. And guess what? You're right there with me. And he wants to use your gifts for the purpose he created you for. So real quick, over the next, give me 15 minutes. How do we walk this out? How do we practically walk this out and know God? We talked about that. We talked about finding freedom. But how do we discover our purpose? Because some of you would say, cool, I know my purpose. This is my, I've been working in the same job for 25 years. I've been doing the same thing. You know, I run in this business or I'm in this position. Let me caution you. God may have given you the job for your provision, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's your calling. It's probably in your gift set. But too many people put God in a box and go, God, I'm always going to be a manager. I'm just going to be, you know, I'm going to manage this store. I'm always going to do this. Or some of you who are, you know, stay-at-home moms. That's all I'm ever going to do is just be a stay-at-home mom. Just work every now and then and just stay at home. Don't put yourself in this box. You are failing to see the value that God sees in you. It's the reason that you can find some of the wealthiest people in the world and they're the most miserable people in the world. It's because everything they have, even though it's fun for a second. I joke with, where's Buddy sitting back there? Buddy's a pilot. And we have this standing joke every time I see a Facebook an expensive plane comes by, because his Facebook's like you click on it once and then you see them forever. So I clicked on these expensive airplanes, and so now every week when I go through my Facebook, it shows me these airplanes that nobody but like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and all the rich people can afford. But there's these nice jets, and so my standing joke is I send it to him, and I say, you just sign right here on the dotted line, you buy it and fly it, and I'll ride around with you. It's your money. And we laugh about it. And those are things that, short of God, unless Buddy's got a stash hidden away somewhere, that like we're probably not buying that $2 million jet, are we, Buddy? You know, it's $2 million, $3 million, and it flies four people. Yeah, we're probably not getting there. We're not going to walk that one out. But we can walk this out. You can discover your purpose. And the first thing you have to do, I'm going to give you some vocabulary today, and we have to stop being afraid of some words. The first thing is, in Romans chapter, go back real quick, in Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us that we have different gifts according to what he's given each of us. And it's this word, grace. And grace is this word, in the original language, is this word, charis. And it is the word where we get charismatic. Charismatic and this other word, spiritual gifts, have been hijacked. So that when we come to church and we start talking about, oh, you go to that charismatic church, what other people hear is, you go to that crazy place, right? Or somebody says, they say something like, well, I have spiritual gifts. And somebody walks up to you in a conversation, go, I just like to tell you, I got spiritual gifts. what do? We go, like, this guy's weird. Because it's been hijacked to be spooky, spiritual, weird. But let me tell you, the Bible's very clear. We just read in Romans, God has given you a charis, a gift, a grace gift. And it's a divine enablement, which is a fancy word for saying God gave it to you. And we need to stop being afraid of it. Most of us probably use it every day and don't even know it. Let me give you an example. You're riding down the road. There's an old gray-haired lady on the side, standing on the side of 301 next to her car with a flat tire. How many of you, now be honest, because if you all say I'd stop, you're all lying. How many of you can drive by and go, oh, I'll call somebody. And you're the one that calls 911 and say, hey, there's an old lady on the side of the road needs help, right? But how many of you, like, there's nothing in you that will let you go by. Like, you stop and pull over, right? Who's that? See, that's a gift. The Bible talks very much about this gift, this thing that motivates us to take care of other people. That is not just your good nature. You're not that good. It's God planted in you something that says, I need to stop and help. I need to stop. How many of you like to, even when you see somebody hurting, it's just something in you, like, I want to make it better. I want to bring comfort. A lot of my brother, my two sister-in-laws are both nurses. There's something in them that they just want to go help. They make you feel better. And it kind of, I think, led them into what they do for a living. And people have hijacked this term, and its term, spiritual gifts or charismatic, just means that you're a fruitcake, that you're weird. If you've been here before, you've heard me say this before. Spiritual gifts and God didn't make people weird. They were weird before they met God. Weird people are just weird. And we blame weird people and their actions, we blame it on God, and then we say, well, I'm not going to do that. He's not going to make me do that. I'm never going to act that way. You're never going to see me jump around in church. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. Because if you have that same revelation that the person jumping in, they may be weird anyway, but they've realized that there's something in them that God has done that can't be repaid, that can never be purchased, that he wants to use in them. God's put spiritual gifts inside of each of us. Again, Romans 12:6 says we have different gifts according to the grace. So here's the first way. The first way you discover your purpose is to discover your gifts. I know. Crazy, right? You want to know your purpose, then discover your gifts. Remember, God said, I've perfectly designed you for something. I've perfectly designed, given you the abilities to do what you need to do. Why is it important? Because design reveals destiny. Design tells you where you're going, what you're capable of doing. You don't want me to be your surgeon. I don't like it. I wouldn't be good at it. This seems to plug in here and this might go here, but now sew them up, we'll see if it works. See, that's not what you want. That's not how I'm designed. That's why I'm not a surgeon. It's not my destiny. See, God created everything about you. You're perfectly built to accomplish what He's planned for you. Let me show you. I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to show you a picture. This. Anybody know what this is? This is a Bugatti Chiron 2020. Anybody want to guess how much that costs? Yeah, more than you earn. $3.8 million. Hits a top speed of 304 miles an hour. That is 5 miles an hour every minute. That would make the trip to Statesboro really quick. Like, y'all better look out because Clint's coming through in the Bugatti at 304 miles an hour. This is a silly question, but answer it. What is the one thing that is designed to do? Yeah, he said it. Speed. Go fast. Are you going? Well, no, I say this, and I saw somebody the other day in a sports car at Possum Eddie loading lumber, so Are you going to Possum Eddie to load lumber in that? If you do, we're all going to think you are crazy and weird. Show up in a $3.8 million car to get some 2x4s from Possum Eddie. It's built, it's designed to do one thing and one thing only. Go fast, real fast. 304 miles an hour. Its design tells you what its destiny is. Its destiny is to go fast. Its destiny is to, I think it holds two people, to take them from point A to point B, looking good, but very quickly, right? Now look at this. Look at this next picture. Anybody know what that is? No, you don't, because I didn't. I had to look it up. That is a Terex MT6300 AC. It is 26 feet tall, 51 feet long. Anybody want to guess how much it weighs? Yeah, you're wrong. Don't even guess. It weighs 660 tons. Yeah, look how big that thing is. What is it designed to do? Haul stuff. A lot of it at one time. I had all the specs as I got. When I started Googling this, I got way too deep in it. I was like, you know, it could hold 7 houses. Yeah. Like, the whole city of Sylvania could stand in the back of it. It was like thousands of people could stand in the back. What is it designed to do? Haul stuff. What are you designed to do? What are you created to do? What is the very specific thing in your life that you know is there, but you're not doing? We had a lady years ago, and if you've been here again for a while, you've heard me say this, that she used to tell us, I don't like people. I don't want to hug people. I don't want to talk to people. But I can make a mean pecan pie. And whenever you need pies, we will make pies. And she would light up her people to walk in and go, and she would bring in these pies that would just like change your life forever. Because there is something in you. It may be as big as that truck, or it may be as finite and specific as the pecan pie. But your design reveals your destiny. Look what the Bible says in Psalm. David writes this. He says, "You made all of me, that delicate inner part of my body, and knit me together in my mother's womb." He put you together. Just like that $3.4 million Bugatti was handmade, put together by a bunch of guys who are smarter than we are and really good at what they do, to do one thing and go fast. The Bible says the same is true about you. He's put something in you, a purpose for you to complete. Look what this continues in verse 14. It says, he thanks God. It says, "God, thank you for making me wonderfully complex." I hear people say all the time, "Well, I'm boring. I don't have a lot of gifts. I'm not good at anything." Well, no, the Bible says otherwise. Because if it was true for David, it's true for you. And he finishes it by saying, "Oh, how well I know it." But here's the secret. If I want to find out about that Bugatti, do I go down to the Ford place? No. I go to the Bugatti factory and say, "Show me how you did this. Show me how you built that. I want to see how this thing does 304 miles an hour, 5 miles every minute, flat out." By the way, if you're an environmentalist, you don't want to buy one of those because they suck up like gallons of gas like that. Both of them. But God created these things to do something specific. Now let me tell you this. The second thing is you need to develop your gifts. Once you find out about them, once you allow, and we help you, discover, "God, this is why I'm on this earth. This is what gets me excited. This is what revs my engine. This is what dings my bell. This is what gets me fired up." There are those things in life that do it. For those of you who played high school or college football like I do, I still, to this day, not getting into the political thing, but you know why I don't want them to mess with the national anthem? Because to me, the national anthem, I still at home today. If I watch Georgia football, just the national anthem gets me fired up. I'm patriotic and all that good stuff, but I want to hit somebody. Because that's what they did in high school. You're ready to go. Like, it's time to bust some heads together. Let's go. See, you find these things that motivate you, that move you. But the Bible says that you have to develop your gifts. You have to get better at it. When I started playing football, when you started as an athlete, you weren't great. And some of you need to know this. Some of us don't do our purpose because we think we've arrived. But this is truth, and I'm sorry if it hurts, but you need to know this. You were not born an expert in anything. Nobody in this room. Even the children that you see that are just ridiculously good. We were watching this old girl play a piano, and she was like 5 or 6. And she was just, she may have gotten there quickly, but she still had to start somewhere. God put in her to be an expert, but she had to get there. Your gifts have to be developed. See, my job is to help create a place where you can go through this process to develop those gifts, to get better at it. Getting saved people trained is not just about learning more stuff. We can put a whole lot of information, a whole lot of knowledge in your head and tell you a whole lot of stuff, but if you can't do anything with it, because the bottom line is if people aren't getting saved, if they're not getting free from their past, if they're not going through a process, then we're wasting our time. You need to discover your purpose, and here at Believers Church, it's lived out through what we call the growth track. What Melanie was talking about earlier. We started out with 4. We had step 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we kept losing people by the time we get to 4. So we went to step 1, 2, 3. And then the last year or so, we've even whittled it down further to step 2. 2 Sundays. About an hour each. That's all I ask. Again, if you're here today and it's not your home and you're just thinking about it, want to check us out, you don't even have to ask. Just show up next door in the kids' building. We'll feed you. You can learn about the church, why we do what we do, how we do it, our structure, our government, all that fun stuff. And then next week, the class that Melanie teaches it because she's just good at this arena, and that's the helping you figure out what you're good at. You do a spiritual gifts test. Again, we're not afraid of that word anymore because you have them whether you like it or not. And we do personality test. And then we take the two and we put them together. And it really points us in a direction, an area you can serve, a dream team you can serve, where we can get you plugged into, not only in the church, but in the kingdom of God, so that you can walk out and fulfill your purpose. And we'll talk about this next week, because the truth of the matter is, your purpose is only fulfilled when it's with a group of people going the same direction, doing something bigger than you could do on your own. My purpose is not simply fulfilled by me standing here. If there was nobody in the room and nobody watching online, I would just be up here talking to myself. This is part of, I believe, why God put me on this earth. So today, right after church, is step 1, right next door. Next Sunday at 6 in the same room will be step 2. Because let me tell you this, the two greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figured out why you were born. There are a lot of people here. Obviously, they were born, but they're wandering around in circles trying to figure out, why am I on this earth? They're not getting free from their past. They're going from relationship to relationship. Some of us go from job to job. Well, this doesn't make me happy. Maybe this job will make me happy. Well, no, now I'm bored with this and it's not happy, and I'll go to this one. We go from friend to friend, from relationship to relationship, from drug to drug, from bottle to bottle, from TV show to TV, trying to find something to make us feel full and fulfilled. The ultimate way to live your life to the fullest, and the way we discover purpose, is to use your gifts to make an eternal difference. You're going to hear next week, as we talk about making a difference, about Project 216 and all the ridiculously cool stuff God's used us to do this year and over the years. But the truth of the matter is, we may feed a kid, we may put clothes on that kid, we may put that kid in a new bed, we may help the kid who's lost everything, the family who's lost their whole house. But if that's not pointing them to the place where they take the one step to know God, all we're doing is feeding them earthly. And eternity is not a good picture. So our goal is to use our gifts to make an eternal difference, which is 3. Use your gifts. Use them. People will tell me, well, I can do this or this or this, but I don't know how we can use that for God. We'll find a way. We used the lady that made, years ago, she made pecan pies. We used her. Somebody was feeling down, had a rough go, we'd call her, send a pecan pie to them. They'd be all better. Just by making a pie. And the funny thing, the lady that made it didn't want to talk to the people that got it, so she'd just show up, give them a pie, they'd smile, and everybody's happy. She didn't have to have a deep conversation. They knew somebody cared about them, and all was made well by one simple pie. But let me tell you, that pie made a lot of people feel like somebody loved them. And when they knew somebody loved them, they came back to church. And when they came back to church, they found freedom and they found an eternal difference. That's why we do what we do. Use your gifts. Look what the Bible says. 1 Peter 4. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. It's okay that nobody else may have yours. There are some that we all should have. But look what it says. Use them to do what? Serve. Your spiritual gift is not about you. And too many Christians spend their lives trying to give themselves gifts. Buy stuff for themselves. Do it for me. Do it for me. It's amazing what you can do when you stop trying to. Even this. I'm not telling you to stop praying for yourself. Pray for yourself. But it is amazing what happens when you stop praying about your stuff and start praying for somebody else's. It's amazing how your stuff suddenly works out. Or you stop worrying about your issue and you pick up a rake and a mower and a weed eater and go help somebody else. And suddenly your issue is taken care of. God's moving, right? Because we're supposed to use this to serve one another. To do something for somebody else. But here's what I'm going to close here. I want you to notice this. Look what happens when you do. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says God is not unjust. He will not what? He's not going to forget what you've done. And the love you've shown him. And as what? As you've helped his people and as you continue to help them. You keep doing it. You've helped his people, but continue to do it. You have gifts for a reason. They're not just in the drawer. They're not just in the box or in the closet or in the barn. Just put it there one day and use it. You have gifts for a reason, and it's wrapped up in this thought. So my purpose is to serve God. Well, how do you serve God? Take care of his people. What did God tell Peter in the New Testament? For those of you who know, and maybe you don't know the New Testament, that's fine, I'm going to tell you. God says to Peter in the Bible, he says, hey, if you love me, give the most money. If you love me, build the biggest buildings. If you love me, you know, become the most famous person in the world. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say anything about doing anything for the man's self. He told the guy, he said, if you love me, do what? Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. You want to serve me? Take care of people. That's why we do what we do, period. We're here. That's why we put it in our vision. Our vision, our goal is to help people take one step from where they are, one step closer to where God wants them to be. We may not can today get you all the way, but in my mind, when I talk to our staff and volunteers and talk to people about the church, I consider it a win if we help people move one step. Just one. Some people's one step is just showing up today. But the ultimate act of worship is love expressed, and love expressed is to serve people. To God's people, serve them. And there's some of you today that need to take the first step and meet Jesus. There's some of you today who need to not be in that 87%. And you need to find freedom. And you need to let God heal you from your past so that your yesterdays don't dictate your tomorrows. And when you do that, your purpose will begin to open up. And we'll begin, we need you. We really do. Ushers, you guys can go ahead and get set up for communion. Change the lights and band, you guys can come. But everybody else, focus on me real quick. We need you. We don't need you because we need another box to check. Look how many people we got. You don't hear preachers say this very often, so we don't even need your money. We like it. Thank you. Keep tithing. Keep giving. But the truth of the matter is we need you. We need your gifts. We need your abilities. We need your purpose to come into ours. And as you'll see next week, when we talk about making a difference, the first three promises that God said, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, were all about the individual. But the fourth promise is when he says, now I'm going to take this individual group of people and I'm going to make them my people. And the thing that changes lives is not just the one person, it's when a lot of people do more than they could ever do on their own. And that's where we are. But you can't get to that step unless you know God. You can't get to steps two and three, or through step two to step three, unless you let God heal you and heal the hurts, heal the pain, and leave that baggage behind. Real quick before we take communion, if you will, if you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want to pray with you. For those of you who would say, Clint, I need to take that one step. Maybe you're online watching today. I need to take that one step. Well, the Bible's very clear. You take this one step. He says, the Bible says, if you confess me, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, then the Bible says, and you repent from your sins, then salvation is yours. So real quick, heads bowed, eyes closed. Online, just you and God. Let's repeat that with those who are making this prayer. Let's do it together today. Say, Lord Jesus, come on now, football's coming up. You talk louder than that at the TV, I know. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that you are my Savior, my God, and my King. I give you my life today. And I follow you with everything that I am. In Jesus' name, amen.